4:15, and I'd like to welcome into studio three very special young men. And, you know, if you have ever lived, and I think there used to be, in South Africa, there used to be conscription where there was no choice about serving in the South African Defence Forces. That all came to an end, I think, in 1994. But I do remember that it was something that it was not easy, because your life was basically on hold until you finished your army service. And I think that often that is very much the case for Israel. You know, young people in Israel, they don't really have a choice whether to go to the army or not. They have to go to the army, and because there is conscription. And in the army, sometimes people get injured, unfortunately, because as you know, Israel fights for its life every single day. There's an organization called Achim Lechayim that translates as Brothers for Life. And joining me in studio right now is Eli, Moti, and Yogev. Welcome, all of you. How are you?
Thank God.
You good?
I want to say, how's it, Joburg?
How's it, Joburg?
Yesterday I was all the time practicing.
Well, you're doing great.
Thank you very much.
Can you all say, how's it? You give?
How's it?
How's it, Joburg? You've got to sing it. Because now we're in Northern Johannesburg.
How's it, Joburg?
How's it? That's it.
Joburg. I'm African native speaker now.
Yes. Okay, so I want to start with you. Okay, Moti.
Yeah.
How old are you now?
I'm 22 years old. I'm actually turning 23 next month.
Ah, very nice. Happy birthday for next month.
Thank you.
All right. So, you served in the IDF. What, do you mind me asking, what unit were you in?
I was in Kfir, Netzach Yehuda, which is, trying to remember the words for it in English.
Okay.
Basically we dealt with activity on a day to day in the West Bank. I didn't go to war, but I dealt with all the activity that went, like doing arrests at night and dealing with riots.
Okay.
So that sums up what we did.
All right. Just for context, that the arrests is when you go in and you look for terrorists, correct?
Yeah.
I've just read the most fascinating book, and it's a commander's diary. And I didn't realize that going into the West Bank, going into Gaza to arrest, it's to arrest terrorists who have been linked to either planning attacks or they've already carried out attacks.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that's how close it was. How long did you serve?
I served as a combat soldier. I was in the army for a year and 7 months, mm-hmm. but I got injured after a year and, if I remember correctly, a year and 4 months, 3 or 4 months, and then I wasn't able to continue, so I got discharged after 3 months after my injury.
Okay. Can I ask what injury?
I was actually... The story or just what happened?
No, tell us what happened. Tell us the story, if you can.
So... I was basically, I don't know if you guys know this, you know, we're in a different country.
So explain everything. I mean, we've got time.
I was posted in the West Bank in a village next to Ramallah called Abud. I was kind of new there. We were just posted out there. It was a Friday afternoon. For those of you who don't know, Friday is usually when people go out to riot. That's what goes on. It's the Arabs over there, the Palestinians. In that village specifically, they come out and they start rioting. They throw rocks, like, you know, kids go play basketball at home. On a Friday, these people are coming with stones at 7 years old.
Oh, we see what happens on the border with Gaza. Yeah.
So I've experienced that firsthand. And it was a Friday afternoon, and it was me, my commander, and another soldier. We saw a riot break out. We called in for backup. We called our post telling them that a riot's breaking out. We need people. There's a lot of people here and we can't handle it on our own. So we said we have to go there anyway just to calm down just what's happening. We went into the village. We started, I wouldn't say arresting people, but we started searching people, checking people to make sure they weren't carrying anything dangerous that could actually hurt someone. And suddenly from the distance, I see someone coming. Nothing seemed wrong with him, but I knew something was wrong. From the morning, something felt off. And when I saw him, my heart dropped. I said, something's about to happen. So I quickly turned around. I told my friend to cover me. I said, I need to go check this man. I walked over to him. I actually had my gun pointed at him. I told him, I need your identification. and without a problem, he took it out. He held it, and I told him, put your hands in the air while I walk away. I walked with my body face towards the guy, and the gun still aimed at him with his identification in my hand until I got to my friend, which is a few meters away. And I told him to cover me so I could check his papers. My friend said, no problem. He tapped me on my shoulder. And mind you, let me just paint the picture. Right now, we have a few people on the floor, another taxi driver that we're dealing with, a few other people, and people throwing multiple cocktails and
rocks.
So
it's quite chaotic.
It's not just a regular. This is just three soldiers on about 100-something people, and more are just joining. And they're there to kill, and we're just there to defend. There's nothing we can do except defend. We're not allowed to shoot. We're not allowed to do anything. And this is happening while all that's happening around us. Sorry, just remembering.
That's okay.
I told my friend to cover me. The second he tapped me on my shoulder, I turned around, going to check the passport. It was their identification. 2 seconds later, I felt something hit me in the head. Like, I didn't even have time to read the paper. I felt something hit me in the helmet, and I wasn't sure what it was. So I quickly turned around and I look on the floor and I see my friend lying there, fighting with his gun sideways, and a guy just slashing at him with a knife. And I saw blood everywhere. I wasn't sure.
But you had also been hit.
So I didn't know this yet.
Yeah.
I just saw blood everywhere, and I saw my friend on the floor and a guy with a knife on top of him, and he was trying to fend him for himself. At that moment, I said, he's been stabbed. Something happened. I need to go and help him. So I quickly went for my gun. But the problem was, I'm a lefty. It's not a problem. I like to be a lefty, but they say they're more creative.
We don't mind lefties. We don't mind gingies.
Exactly. I saw blood everywhere. I wasn't sure. So I saw blood everywhere, and I went for my gun. At that moment, I still didn't know I was stabbed. I looked down. I couldn't move my arm. And the second I couldn't move my arm, I felt something was wrong. So I looked down just out of instinct. All this is happening in about 2 seconds. This isn't like a 20-minute story. The story could go on for hours, but this all happened in 2 seconds.
Time's funny like that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes something that lasts a long time, it's almost as though it's compressed into a very short time, and vice versa, especially in a crisis situation like this.
So I looked down.
You couldn't use your arm. So you couldn't take out your firearm.
My firearm was out. We have a rifle.
Oh, that's
but
right.
I couldn't use it. And at that moment, I realized that I was the one who was hit. I looked down. I saw blood all over me, and I felt tingling in my arm. I couldn't really use it just out of loss of blood. They don't teach you how to go to save yourself from a stabbing. I'm just going to put that out there. They teach you how to help your friend, what to do when he hurts his arm, breaks his leg. But there's really nothing to do for a stabbing. So the first thing I went through my mind was, what do they do in the movies? Because I don't know what to do. And I quickly put my hand on top of the hole in my neck.
Oh, so you were able to identify where you had been stabbed.
I touched it. I realized something was wrong because I saw blood coming down here.
Oh,
and I quickly put my hand inside the hole, 2 fingers, to stop the bleeding. And I screamed to my commander, I've been hit, and there's a terrorist. And this is while my friend is still being slashed at on the floor. All this happening right now, my commander turns around, shoots the guy quickly. My friend gets up on the floor, shoots the guy as well. They killed him. Thank God nothing happened to him. And then they came and they grabbed me.
To your friend?
Nothing happened to my friend.
Okay.
Then they came and they grabbed me. The second they grabbed me, I had an out-of-body experience where I was looking down at myself, and a voice came down saying, and this is while I was conscious, like my body was doing what it does.
Yeah.
And I was watching myself. Basically, a voice came out in like surround sound saying, your time has come. And I said, no. And your time has come. And I said, no. And there's a back and forth. And then the voice goes, I'll give you one more chance. Don't waste it. And I was able to see out of my eyes from there. This happened 2 days before Hanukkah. I was rushed to the hospital. This was Erev Shabbos. Hanukkah was on Sunday. When I got to the hospital, the doctor said, he doesn't know how I was alive, how I survived. It went 13 centimeters in. It went in over here, through my neck on one side, and it got to the skin on the other side. It didn't pierce because the knife wasn't long enough. And I was out of the hospital 2 days later to light candles with my family, which was also a little miracle in itself. I just wanted to put that out there. And
it really is. I think this was definitely a Hanukkah of miracles, right?
Yeah. And so that's my story.
That's Morty's story.
Yeah.
22 years old. Served in Kfir.
Yeah.
And that's, when did this happen?
This happened at the end of 2015.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's go to, you know what, I actually want to play a song, and then I think we're going to go to your give and find out your give story. You're on 101.9 Chai FM, and I'm speaking to some very, very brave young men. They're from an organization called Brothers for Life, Achim Lechayim. This is an organization that looks after and helps to rehabilitate wounded Israeli soldiers. Now, most Israeli youth go into the army when they're 18. You don't get on with your life until you've done your military service. And, yeah, I think that they would certainly appreciate any messages from you. Lots of messages coming through. It's so wonderful to have these special soldiers in our country. They are a true inspiration. What incredibly brave men. South Africa is forever indebted. And, yeah. Those are some of the messages that have come through. I want to play you something very, very special, and then we're going to come back. We're going to speak to Your Give. Any messages? 34519. In fact, you know what? I'm looking at the time. Your Give?
Yeah.
Look at the time.
Yeah.
Unless I keep you guys here until 6 o'clock.
Yeah. No worries.
All right. So tell us your story. Tell us your story.
My story? All right. So I just want to start and say we are a part of Brother for Life. Brother for Life, it's a non-profit organization that started with Gili Ganoyan. He was officer in Duvdevan unit. He injured in the army, in the IDF. And Gili was part of delegation to Seattle. He met there amazing people. He met there some guy who called him Rabbi Chaim Levin. The Rabbi Chaim Levin find amazing guy, Gili, and ask him, Gili, tell me, next time, I wanna come to Israel and see more people, like you, more soldiers who was a combat, who injured in the army. So, just year after, was second Lebanon, and the Rabbi Chaim come to visit in Israel. He, Gili, and just meet him and take him to visit in a hospital and to see injured soldier combat. And on one leg, there start Brother for Life. All right, let's make a long
story. There was a need. They identified a need.
Yeah. And just a little bit time after that, they start with Brother for Life, all right? And the idea after Brother for Life, it's injured soldiers help to injured soldiers in their rehabilitation and back to the life, to the normal life. And that's all the idea after Brother for Life.
Well, it's a very powerful idea, where injured soldiers are helping injured soldiers, because nobody can understand
exactly
like somebody else who's in the same boat as you.
Exactly, that's what
has been
there after that.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we are here a part of the delegation that's come to visit the community here, the amazing community
in
Johannesburg, and we are here just spend a week with the host families, just do a fun, go to the shul and go to the schools to speak with the kids, and just try to a little bit explain what we are, and probably we are come here just to get to give to our guys, our soldiers who come with us here, the power to back home to Israel stronger than what they are come here.
Yeah.
And that's the idea after our delegation to Johannesburg.
So I want to ask you something.
Yeah.
Every year there's, you know, Brothers for Life come to South Africa, and usually they are speaking tours.
Yeah.
You know, has there been something like that this year, aside from the schools? Has there been a speaking tour? Have you been speaking at other places?
In Israel?
No, here. Yeah. In South Africa.
Should I explain to him?
No. Well, you can answer the question if you know the answer, Moti.
I don't know the answer to that question.
Okay.
All right.
Okay. All right. Your give.
Yeah.
Okay. So can you tell us basically on one leg your story?
Yeah, on one leg, my story. So I'm joined to the IDF, Israel Army.
Will you stop kicking each other and misbehaving?
It's 2000. It's a joke. 2012. For the first time.
I joined to the army in 2012, to Maglan unit. I served there, like 2 years and 6 months, and I injured in 2014 in Operation Protective Age, Tzuk Eitan, in Gaza Strip. What actually happened to me, we have a special mission to find tunnel that goes from the hospital, UNRWA hospital in Gaza to Israel. It was attacked.
And I remember reporting on it.
Yeah. So the mission completed. We found the tunnel. We just get inside to the hospital. We start to cover, you know, two soldiers need to take this way, two soldiers need to take this way. We're waiting for special forces to come and walk with the tunnel. And after something like 1 hour, it was very, very big explosion. Under the hospital was another tunnel. The tunnel was full of bombs, and the hospital was 2 floors. The second floor fall on the first floor, and me and my friends was inside. And what happened to me? Got a lot of
burns
on all of my body. And but the story, the real story, is because it was a really big explosion. The blast come after, and when the blast come, I can't breathe myself. So I need help from our doctor who was there with us in Gaza. He just opened my
throat. It's a tracheotomy.
Yeah.
It's called a tracheotomy.
Yeah, that's what he do. And bring me here. And thanks God I'm here today.
Amazing.
And I have a lot of lucky because this doctor was with us there and gave me the opportunity to sit here and to talk with you today.
Yeah, one of our listeners saying, remember guys, Kathy is a typical mom. Yes. Yes. And I want to tell you something that I do feel, you know, when I go to Israel and, like the children in Israel, the soldiers, it feels like we all together. You know, there is collective responsibility.
Yes.
And there's deep caring. All right. We've got to take some news headlines. Please don't go away. Please don't go away. Stay where you are. Okay. All right. Let's get some news headlines. And then we're going to speak to Louis Karpus. We're going to get some sport from Louis Karpus. What do you have for us, Kamal?
In your headlines, talks to replace Netanyahu. Palestinian Authority rejects tax fund. Appeals to revive $1 billion lawsuit. And Lawrence Mwebi responds to accusations. I will have the details at 5 p.m.
Thank you very much. Do you know how to stop them from hitting each other?
That's all I knew, Kathy.
You really are behaving like brothers around a table. Do you know what I mean? If this was a breakfast table, you'd be throwing cereal at each other.
I'm just here laughing at everyone.
The question is, do you know brothers that they are not?
That's how brothers behave.
That's exactly what
And then they give a kiss and a hug. All right, very nice. This is Kathy Kayla. You're on 101.9 High FM. And if you want to send messages through for my guests, then you're welcome to 34519 is the text line, or 061-895-1019. I'm speaking to Eddie, Moti and Yogev, who are their soldiers from the IDF, or their former soldiers from the IDF. They were all injured serving. And I have to tell you something, that I think that as diaspora Jews, we should have a special appreciation for the IDF forces that protect and serve in the Israel Defense Forces every single day. You know, it's one thing to sit in on the 8th floor of your banking towers and shout, oh, Israel should do this and Israel should do that. You don't have a vested interest. These are the people who live with the reality every single day. And I'm speaking to them because there's an organization called Brothers for Life, Achim Lechayim, that's what it is, Brothers for Life, and it is soldiers, former soldiers, who were injured, who are helping injured soldiers to get their lives back on track. song. I have three very young, well, not so young. Actually, you guys are getting quite old.
38.
All right, I've got three guests in studio with me, Ellie, Morty, and Yogev. And they're from an organization called Brothers for Life. The concept is for wounded Israeli soldiers to help rehabilitate other wounded Israeli soldiers. Ellie, what unit did you serve in?
Hi.
Hello. Hello. You're from Argentina, you said?
Yes. But I want to say something in Afrikaans.
So we say Buenos Dias.
No.
No.
How is it?
How's that, Joburg?
I must say all the time. It's very funny for me because I know Spanish and a lot of languages, but Afrikaans is my first time.
Okay, well, you said it very well.
Thank you very
much. You've got an aptitude. All right, so what unit did you serve in, Ellie?
So I want to tell you about, okay, I'm from Argentina. Okay. Long story short, okay. We moved to Israel from Argentina in 1997, and I joined the army to the Nahal Brigade in 1999. So it was a bomb attack in Jerusalem in March 2002 in Café Moment. So it was one Palestinian terrorist came into this coffee shop and exploded himself. So
all I think there were about 100 people injured, wasn't it?
Yes, a lot of people.
Yeah, there were a lot of people.
The number. It was a few dead guys, Israeli guys dead and some injured.
Yeah.
So my unit, not so small unit, we are a division, came into Ramallah to destroy the base of Hamas on the terrorists.
And to look for terrorists.
Yes, for terrorists and all the, I don't know how to say, all the assistance.
Okay? Yes.
From these terrorists, and it was very hard. All the time we are saying, they are shooting all the time. Okay, so we took one big building, and we was in the fourth floor. And one sniper find me and shoot me one bullet. So I have no bone in my left arm. And I have my hand paralyzed. There's only one bullet, but it changed all my life.
Changed
so it was a few years I was alone. No help from nobody, because I doesn't want.
So you were isolating yourself? You were isolating, you were keeping yourself away from everybody?
No, not away. I'm very social. I'm very funny.
No, clearly you are very social.
I was all the time with people, but
on the surface we can all be social, Ellie. You know, but there's certain people that we don't open up to.
I didn't want to tell my story all the time. I'll tell my story, but so I have a few friends in Achim Lachaim. They all the time call me, come to Achim Lachaim. It will be very good for you. I say, no, I don't want. I have no time. I quit my job. So they told me, you have no excuse now. You need to come. So I came to the organization to see, to feel something.
Yeah.
It was amazing. This organization, Achim Lachaim, helped me and helping me all the time to be, I think, a great person. To be, I don't know, we have a lot of activities. I have not so much because I work, but I'm trying to help my brothers all the time, and they help to me. If I need something, I can ask and I will get. I'm not talking about money and something like this. I need feels. I need a hug.
Yes.
I need activities to not thinking about my situation. So this is the organization.
That's amazing.
Helping me all the time. Sorry.
Why is Arim Lachim Chalayim in South Africa at the moment? Why are you guys here?
We are in a delegation, okay? For the primary reason is fun, okay?
Just to have fun.
It's a great country to have fun in, hey?
To disconnect ourselves
yes.
from our problems and to meet the great community of Johannesburg. Lovely people. Really. We are now 5 days in Johannesburg, but we feel we are a family from a few years ago. So you are amazing.
It's an amazing community. I'm gonna see if you guys can stay, you know, because I think it would be nice. It would be nice to, you know, our Israel correspondent can talk to you and, you know, just keep you. And then maybe we'll see if we can just keep you tomorrow and the day after and the day after.
I need to go to my boss if I stay.
No, but listen, you got the house at Joburg. So I think you'll be all right.
Thank you very much.
All right. They've got three guests, Eli, Moti, and Yogev. They are from Brothers for Life. You can actually go and check out the website. There are more stories there, and you can actually see the testimonies. It's brothersforlife.com. Arim Lechaim, Brothers for Life.